Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of our mega recruiting podcast here, Future Brew, on amazingbrew.com. I say that kind of sarcastically because it's been kind of a slower little bit of a time here for recruiting, but football is kicking into full swing. So we're going to have official visitors left and right. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on. Once the non-conference schedule kind of wraps up and we get the Penn State game, we get the Michigan State game, we're going to get a lot of kids to come in for those weeks. And I would imagine that there will probably be some this weekend, probably a little bit more the following weekend for Maryland. But once October hits, I think we'll have a little bit more for myself to talk about with my co-host here. That I will introduce to you all now, Seth Berry, our recruiting contributor at amazingbrew.com. Seth, how are you doing tonight, man?
Evan, I'm doing pretty well. Good to be on the show again tonight. And yeah, I agree. As we get going, you know, once we get in October and Michigan, you know, they start hosting Penn State and the Michigan State games, obviously there's recruits that are lined up for that and official visitors that'll be there for those nights. So we'll get into more of the full swing of things, I think, as the season goes. But it is tough with these, you know, these out of conference games, and they have, you know, small lists of visitors that have obviously visited several times now. So yeah, we're kind of into that stage of it right now. But yeah, I think as the season picks up, we'll definitely see the heat start to flow a little bit for the recruiting world.
Yeah, I think so too, and. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there were a few kids on campus this past weekend. We've just talked about them a lot, and I really don't want to talk about Jaden Davis seeing J.J. McCarthy win the starting quarterback job. And obviously, it's very important. We all know how big it is for him to visit for a third time in a calendar year. He'll probably visit again. We'll give you that news on amazingbrew.com and Future Brew when and if that happens. But there was no commitment, nothing like that. So we're going to kind of let that be for now. And obviously good news, but we're going to kind of switch it up a little bit tonight. And this is all going to tie into Michigan because I don't know if you guys noticed the first 2 weeks of the college football season, but there are a couple particular schools that have not been doing super well that preseason were predicted to do fairly well. One was a top five team in the preseason. That's Notre Dame. And the other had been projected to do much better this season than they did last year. They were kind of the underdogs in pretty much every game last year, but still managed to cover. And that was the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And it's no secret that they're both off to rough starts to begin the 2022 season. Notre Dame has yet to win a game and are coming off an upset loss at home to Marshall. Just lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Buckner, for the season. So I don't know about you, Seth, but I don't expect them to be very competitive at all, really, for the remainder of the season. And then Nebraska also coming off a home loss of the upset variety to Georgia Southern. And that performance was so bad that the Cornhuskers athletic department had seen enough and fired Scott Frost after a 1-2 start to begin the season. Could have been 0-3, very much so. So with all of this happening this past weekend, Scott Frost got fired on Sunday. Those two losses happened on Saturday. Now that that's all unfolded, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines have a prime opportunity to take advantage and reach out to some of the players committed to those two schools. So Seth and I are going to go through these classes a little bit tonight. There's really only one at the moment that has been confirmed, at least from the Nebraska side of things, that Michigan has reached out to. So Seth, let's start with the prospect committed to the Nebraska Cornhuskers for the time being. And that is three-star linebacker Hayden Moore. He stands 6'3". He weighs 210 pounds. He is from Aurora, Colorado. He is not a highly regarded or ranked prospect. He is number 1,072 overall on the composite. but that probably wouldn't scare off George Hilo or Michigan. They just took a linebacker in the last class that was around the 1,000 mark in Deuce Spurlock. So I don't think that really plays a factor here. He's been committed to Nebraska since June, holds other offers from Michigan, obviously, but also Wisconsin, Iowa, Iowa State, Colorado, UCLA, Texas Tech, several others. So he's got some pretty good Power Five programs offering him a scholarship despite that low ranking. George Hilo and Michigan offered him back in May. He has yet to visit Ann Arbor in person just because he committed shortly thereafter getting that Michigan offer. So I think if anything were to develop here, he would have to take a visit first. But as I said, this is a guy Hilo liked enough to extend an offer to before that Nebraska commitment. Seth, according to 24/7 Sports, Michigan has already reached out to him following the firing of Scott Frost, as has Wisconsin. So those two Big Ten teams reached right out to him. And that's kind of telling to me that on Sunday, a guy gets fired and Michigan immediately picks up the phone and dials him up just to kind of gauge the interest. But he told 24/7 Sports that he admitted it's too early in the process to know if he will take other visits at the moment. So he is firmly committed to Nebraska for right now. He is taking a trip to Lincoln this weekend to kind of get a feel on the situation and what the plan is moving forward as far as a full-time head coach. I believe the interim head coach at the moment is the wide receivers coach. So that probably won't play too big of an impact on him staying in the class. At the very least, like I said, I commend Michigan for picking up the phone, calling him up, and for a prospect especially, Seth, that they had really liked before he committed to Nebraska. What are your thoughts on all of this unfolding with Hayden Moore?
I mean, I thought as obviously it was telling that they, you know, they did pick up the phone and reach out to him, considering the situation. I think it's obviously a smart move when you, you know, you recruit a guy and he commits to a place like Nebraska and you get the head coach fired. There's two different things, I think. And we'll, before we get talking into the Notre Dame guys, when, you know, we're talking about two programs here, Nebraska and Notre Dame, that are both struggling and both off to very rough starts, but it's a totally different ballpark when the head coach gets fired, right? You kind of, you know, you commit to the head coach, and obviously the positional coaches play a huge role in it as well. But when, you know, when the head coach gets fired of the school you're committing to, I mean, you're talking about a potential culture shift there. You know, you've committed to a school to where you thought it was going to be one thing. And then depending on which direction they go, it could be a totally new, you know, setup in terms of what they have in their program. So obviously, you know, just a really smart move by Michigan to at least gauge his interest going forward. Like you said, I agree that it'll be telling if they can get him to Ann Arbor to get a visit out of him. But early on, obviously just a really good move by the coaching staff to kind of reach out to him and gauge his, you know, kind of where he's at. And, you know, Wisconsin obviously did the same, but yeah, it'll be something to keep an eye on going forward. But yeah, that point of, I think, you know, kind of the potential culture shift and what could happen at Nebraska is such a, you know, for commits in that class right now for Nebraska, it's like, oh man, like there's going to be a lot of guys that get reached out to, I think, there, depending on what happens going forward. But yeah, good move here by Michigan for sure, I think.
Yeah, it's so difficult, like you said, for a kid to be committed to a program and have that happen just three games into the regular season. It's really challenging, and I'm sure it's tough for all parties involved. It's tough for the program. It's tough for the kids that had pledged their commitment to the program. I mean, it's just rough anywhere you look here. So yeah, you're right. It's more than likely going to play out to where a lot of these kids that are committed, they will get reached out to. A lot of these kids, I would imagine, will at the very least think about their other options. Now, perhaps there are some Nebraska lifers that really just want to stick it out and want to be involved with whoever the coach is. I know that I've seen quotes from commits when this kind of happens to their program, to where they say, well, I'm committed to the school, not to the head coach. So it really depends on the kid, but I would anticipate there being a flurry of decommitments at some point. And Hayden Moore certainly could be one of them. It doesn't really seem like he's completely locked in. And I saw a quote in a previous story from him after he committed to Nebraska that he said that he wanted to be a part of pretty much not the rebuild, but he wanted to be a part of the change that was going on at Nebraska. And he wanted to be someone that is able to find success at Nebraska and kind of turn around for them. So I don't really anticipate him being a part of a rebuild, because you would imagine that that's probably what's coming at Nebraska. So just a tough situation, but I do commend Michigan and Wisconsin for that matter for reaching out to him. If they really, really liked him before he committed, it's good to just gauge the interest and see where his interest lies moving forward. Now let's get to the Notre Dame side of things here, Seth. It really shouldn't be a surprise to hear us talk about more Notre Dame prospects than Nebraska, just because Notre Dame, A, has a lot more highly ranked, highly regarded kids, but B, Michigan and Notre Dame seemingly are in recruiting battles left and right every single cycle. You could go up and down the depth chart on both teams, and you could say, yep, he was considering Michigan and Notre Dame. Yep, he was leaning one way or over the other before committing to this school. So this 23 cycle has seen the Irish win a lot of these recruiting battles, to put it nicely. So let's chat about three guys who are committed to Notre Dame right now that should be at the top of the list to reach out to. Right off the bat, the first guy that popped into my mind, Seth, is four-star offensive lineman Charles Jagusa, top 50 guy. He projects to a tackle position, whether it be left or right, at the next level. It's something Michigan needs in this class. He's 6'6", 308 pounds. He's from the state of Illinois, which is significant because Sharon Moore, the offensive line coach and co-offensive coordinator for Michigan, that's his main recruiting ground. He has helped get a lot of guys from the state of Illinois. So that could help Michigan in reestablishing contact here. He's number 44 overall in the composite. So like I said, top 50 guy. Number 4 offensive tackle in the country. Committed to Notre Dame back in June. And he visited Michigan just a week and a half or so before committing to Notre Dame. So he has been on campus once before. Now, Seth, we've talked about the struggle it's been at offensive line for Michigan this cycle, so we don't have to dive too deep into that today. But Charles Jagusa, at the very least, in my opinion, should be the first guy they pick up the phone and dial for when it comes to a Notre Dame commit. This dude is a massive major talent at the tackle position in this recruiting cycle. And it's something that Michigan needs moving forward here.
I think with these guys we're going to talk about here, there's at least some type of, maybe not tie, but you know, when you have, you're talking about an assistant coach that has recruited the area well, you know, when you're talking about Jagusa. So, you know, with all three of these guys we're talking about, at least have some type of tie, or basically to where there's some type of hope that Michigan would be able to eventually flip at least one of these prospects. So I think when we're looking at that part of it, that's good news there. For Jagusa, that was, you know, I remember writing about him in, you know, recruiting roundups multiple times. And you would, you know, if it weren't for, I mean, he spoke so highly of Michigan. And it's like, man, if you just looked at that, you would say, oh, this guy's going to Michigan. But obviously, you know, with Notre Dame in the mix, it never felt like Notre Dame was not the leader in that scenario. So, but he was always complimentary of Michigan and his visits. And like I said, he was there a week and a half before he committed to Notre Dame. So, I mean, it kind of felt like one of those things to where Michigan was always on the outside looking in, but if anything weird were to happen, like he could, you know, he could come back and give it a second look. So, and obviously as a, you know, as a competitor, as a, you know, kind of an elite recruit like Jagusa is, you know, you're talking about a competitor that wants to win, that's going to, you know, that probably wants to go to school to compete for championships. And if Notre Dame ends up being in a position where they're not doing that, then, I think all these guys would, would maybe take a second look at, not that, obviously next year could be totally different and Freeman is building his culture and his style and what he wants to do there. But whenever you get off to this bad of a start and then you, you throw in, the starting quarterback getting injured and all these things, maybe your recruits look at this and say, hey, this isn't going the direction we want it to go. And then, you have schools like Michigan come in and a guy like Chigusa, a guy that really liked the program, really likes the, the campus and has made good connections with the coaches, come in and say, hey, maybe let's give it a second look. So yeah. And I just Chigusa as a prospect, just watching his film. I mean, he's always one that stood out to me. Just watching him and his different abilities and traits that he has. So it would definitely be an exciting time if they were able to get that flip. So.
Yeah, totally agreed. And I do agree with you with that last part that you just said about his game changing talent and how he really stood out. I agree. He really stood out to me too, when looking at the guys that they were recruiting at the very beginning of this recruiting cycle. In my opinion, and I know it's the opinion of a lot of guys, but Caden Proctor is probably the best offensive lineman in this 23 class, but Charles Chigusa could very well be number two. And he's at a prime position that Michigan needs. He could play left or right tackle at the collegiate level. And it's really something that Michigan needs in this class. They've got a very good offensive line class so far, but they only have a couple guys. They've got Evan Link, another four-star offensive lineman that's probably going to play left or right tackle. And obviously the in-state talent that they have committed, Amir Herring, but he projects to the inside. He's probably going to be the center of the class. So they really need another guy here for tackle, and they do need another guard as well. But yeah, Chigusa brings a lot to the table, and I think he would be a very great complement to what they have with Evan Link at the tackle spot already. Let's shift gears here. For these last two guys, we're going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Let's begin with another obvious name. If you are an avid recruiting aficionado like myself or Seth or John, and this is four-star linebacker Jaden Osbury. He is a Baton Rouge, Louisiana native. He's number 141 overall on the composite in the 23 class. He's 6'1", 210, and he would be exactly the type of linebacker that Michigan needs to pair up with four-star Samaj Bridgman. They've kind of struggled with this linebacker position too, following the decommitment of Raylan Wilson. At the time that he decommitted, they didn't have a single linebacker, and they picked up Samaj Bridgman back over the summer. So they definitely need someone else to pair up with him at the linebacker position. So Osbury, flipping back to him, he has also visited Michigan. He officially visited back on June 24th. So he is familiar with what Ann Arbor has to offer, just like Chigusa is. But if you want to flip a guy, typically you got to get him back on campus, and he would have to pay for his own trip to come up to Michigan all the way from Louisiana. So I think it'd be pretty telling if he took a trip unofficially up to Michigan, having been committed to Notre Dame for so long. Seth, I think it would be a little bit tougher than Charles Chigusa, but I mean, anything's possible. And at the very least, you just gauge the interest and see what's going on. But how do you feel about this prospect? Do you think that this is someone that they should reach out to? And what do you think the likelihood is that that they would at least receive mutual interest here?
I mean, I think it's interesting with, I was talking about the different ties and the assistant coaches. And obviously, whenever you speak of the Louisiana area, you think about Ron Bellamy and the past success he's been able to have with his ties and the Louisiana recruits in the past. So yeah, I mean, I was reading one thing that said, Osbury could be the most likely of the bunch, in the end of it to end up flipping. So, I mean, you can take that for what it's worth. You can, obviously the different things you read and, different sites and things like that will probably come up with a different answer when you're talking about guys that are already committed. But, I mean, just taking that for what it's worth. Obviously, you know, when you talk about the linebacker position, and you hit on this a little bit, Vaughn, you know, with Michigan, someone needing someone to pair up with Bridgman, and you know, with Bridgman, we talk a lot about his versatility, and you know, I think Osbury is very similar in that type of way. You know, just his athleticism and ability to, you know, to get to the ball and work sideline to sideline and make a lot of plays for you on the defense. You know, it would bode well for Michigan in this class. But yeah, just another guy that obviously it's you know, if he gets a visit down the road, then yeah, it's going to be telling. And you know, if Michigan can kind of get in the mix there with Osbury, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. But like I said, with all these guys, it's kind of a guessing game right now, and I think that's the biggest thing, you know, with this bunch. But obviously, you know, like the rest of these guys, smart to reach out to them, smart to keep a gauge on them, and just see what happens down the road.
Now, the last prospect that we're going to talk about, Seth, is at a position that, unlike the first two for Notre Dame commits, is not at a position of need for Michigan in this class, because Mike Elston has done a killer job on the recruiting trail. But we're still going to talk about this guy anyway, because he kind of has some interesting, unique significance here. This is four-star defensive lineman Devin Houston. And the reason I bring up his uniqueness here is because he is the brother of former Michigan Wolverines basketball player Caleb Houston. Devin is no slouch as an athlete either, as his brother is. Devin is 6'5", 270, and he is number 221 overall on the composite, the number 35 defensive lineman in the class. He's been committed to Notre Dame the longest of the three that we've talked about tonight. He committed to them back in May, so he's been committed to them for quite a while. But Mike Elston and the Wolverines were recruiting him pretty hard before he made that decision to commit to Notre Dame. So I would not be surprised if they reached out to him either. Now, like I said, Seth, defensive line isn't as big of a need for Michigan in this class as much as it is for offensive line or linebacker, for example. They already have Eno Etta, Collins Achiampong, Brooks Bear, and Americ Kumba all committed at the defensive line position. But how could you not at least touch base with a guy like Houston, who has family ties to the program, or to the university, I should say, and just see where his head's at following this really bad start to Notre Dame season? I think he's a talent worth reaching out to, not only just because he's very good on the football field, but because you kind of have a leg up in the other competition with Caleb Houston being his brother.
And I think you know, the obvious connection there is Houston, and, you know, Caleb Houston, the basketball program, and what he was able to do for a year at Michigan. You know, it's just an obvious thing to reach out to him in this type of situation. I think the interesting thing with Houston here is, you know, Elston's obviously done a great job. And if you're looking at any, you know, position or any player that might be able to flip, and, you know, and you look at one guy in the Michigan coaching staff, it might be Mike Elston, you know, just in terms of being able to pull that off or get that done, even though they've been pretty successful with a position, you know, in this class. And Elston's just done, I think, a phenomenal job since he's come in the staff. So, but the interesting thing with Houston, you know, being an interior lineman, and, you know, I know Michigan's had a ton of success recruiting, you know, edge rushers and things like that. But being an interior lineman and, you know, having some weight in the middle to, you know, be able to help stop the run and do those different types of things gives Michigan a little different dynamic along the defensive line in this class as well, and would give them a little, you know, change up in that regard. So yeah, I think you look at this, you know, at this recruitment and definitely give him a call and reach out to see where he's at and just see what happens with his situation.
Yeah, man, I agree. I mean, I just really can't imagine them not at least touching base with the guy and just seeing, hey, have you seen Notre Dame recently? They haven't been playing that good. You know, your brother, he played basketball for us, and he led us in scoring last year, and he loves Ann Arbor. Well, why not give us another look? At the very least, just gauge the interest, and you know, like with all these guys, and I'm sure that there will be other guys that they reach out to that we have not talked about and will not talk about tonight on this podcast, but they got to at least try, because you would imagine that the Notre Dames, the Michigan States, the Ohio States of the world would probably do the exact same thing if this were happening to Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. I can't imagine that they wouldn't, you know, with all the recruiting battles that Michigan had won over those schools in this recruiting cycle, Eno Etta was once considering Michigan State. So if this happened with Jim Harbaugh, I can't imagine Mel Tucker would not pick up the phone, dial the kid and say, hey, do you have any interest in taking a visit to East Lansing this weekend? Collins Achimpong was a very highly regarded kid, highly recruited, Miami, LSU, Michigan, lots of others, the West Coast schools. I'm sure he would be, his phone would be blowing up if something happened with a Jim Harbaugh. I can really only imagine a couple kids in Michigan's current class that would probably stick around if this happened to Jim Harbaugh, and they're all in-state kids. So you can imagine that Michigan's probably not the only school doing this to Notre Dame and to Nebraska, as evidenced by Wisconsin reaching out to Hayden Moore after Scott Frost got fired. So it just really, you can't fault the kids for looking around, but you also can't fault the football programs for also gauging the interest and potentially being the first to reach out to see where their heads are at following a bad start or a coach getting fired or something along those lines. It's just, it would be kind of coaching malpractice for you to not do that. So that's just my thoughts on that topic, Seth. Do you have any other final thoughts or opinions on this or anything else?
I mean, I think you pretty much hit on all of it there. I'd make the point, you know, and obviously Notre Dame is in a different situation from, you know, the last cycle now, but when Michigan was able to flip Amarion Walker from the Irish, you know, so, and obviously this is a much different situation, you know, than the last cycle, but it, just to say, it's not, you know, it's not possible to get one of these guys and to have him flip. And obviously Michigan, you know, with the way things have gone this recruiting cycle, getting a flip or two is really going to help their cause. And maybe that's the path to the, I don't want to say turning this around, because, you know, Michigan, obviously they've had several really good classes as of late, but we know this year has been a little bit slower when you consider, you know, they're coming off a Big Ten championship. So, I think there's several things to keep an eye on looking forward, but, you know, just to say that, I think it'd be smart to reach out to a lot of these guys and just, you know, and it'll be fun to gauge the situation going forward.
Well, I'll take a step further than Amarion Walker, and I'll raise you one Derek Moore, a four-star top 50 defensive lineman that Michigan was able to get to commit right on signing day, I believe. Yep. And if it weren't for Lincoln Riley going to USC, he would be at Oklahoma right now. So this can happen in any situation, to any program, to any recruit. So it is super important for the coaching staff to reach out. And perhaps maybe this is why Michigan is so good at closing these deals and ending these recruiting cycles on such a high note. Like you said, with Walker, Derek Moore, and Alex Orji being another one that they flipped right at signing day away from Virginia Tech. So just so many examples that we could go through, Daxton Hill being the obvious one, but there wasn't any coaching turnover or anything crazy there, but just a flip nonetheless. But so many things we could talk about here as far as flips and gauging the interest of other commits, players recruited and committed elsewhere. But that is another conversation for another day, because that is all the time we have today on Future Brew. We really appreciate you listening and always tuning in to these podcasts. You guys have been doing great with the downloads and the subscriptions. So we really, really appreciate that support. Go follow me on Twitter if you could, at @Vaughn_Lozon. Seth, where are you at on Twitter, my friend?
At @Barry_Seth14.
And follow Mason Brew on Twitter while you're at it. Facebook, Instagram too, and YouTube channel. We've been posting some highlights from the Michigan games, the first couple games of the season, mainly the JJ stuff, because you guys really love that. So go give the YouTube channel a subscription. And like I said, just subscribe, 5 stars on all of our podcasts. And we would really appreciate your continued support. You guys have been tremendous throughout the off season and the first few weeks of the 2022 season. There's going to be a whole lot more recruiting coverage to come. So stick around for that, because we are really excited to bring it all to you guys. For Seth Berry, I am Vaughn Lozon. We will talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much.